The Old Testament reading for the 24th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of the harp of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in and with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Fallen man has always feared the unknown. For example, when Christopher Columbus set sail across the ocean, some people were afraid. They feared that he would sail right off the end of the earth and fall into the abyss because it was unknown. Now, to be sure, some fear of the unknown is good and healthy. For example, if you're climbing a tree and you might not know if the next branch is quite sturdy enough to hold your weight, it's probably a good idea to test that branch out before you come crashing down to the ground. Or you might not know if those leftovers you left in the fridge are still good, so it's probably a good idea to give it the old sniff test before last week's tuna casserole kills you. But the fear of the unknown can also be a bad thing. It can be unhealthy. It can cause us crippling anxiety. And if we're honest, we all have anxiety, perhaps to varying degrees, and we all have various ways of dealing with it. Some of us are better at it than others, honestly. This morning, though, our Lord is telling us in this parable that he is coming back. that their end is coming, the end is nigh. And he will descend, as we heard in our epistle. He will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet. And he will return then to gather all believers and lead them into the eternal wedding feast with him. But he also says there's an unknown, a big unknown, actually. You know neither the day nor the hour, he says. Watch, therefore, be ready, be on the lookout, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now, I'm going to risk going out on a limb. See what I did there? If you're paying attention, that's a joke. Thank you. But I suspect that not knowing the day or the hour of Christ's return probably has not caused you the same level of fear and anxiety as so many temporal things, so many earthly things. Let's say politics, for example. Perhaps the elections this last week that probably didn't go the way you had hoped. Or maybe the upcoming presidential election has got you nervous and anxious about what's going to happen in our country. Or maybe the economy, which might be tied to that election. As many economists, not all, it's not all doom and gloom, but many economists are predicting a recession for the coming year. These are important things, right? And no doubt these are things that we need to give our attention to and do what we can to deal with them. Hopefully making wise decisions about all of these things. Yet they are temporal things. Not eternal things. So if I had to guess, there are probably many unknowns in your life right now, causing you lots of anxiety, lots of fear. But chances are, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when Christ returns. That likely is not one of them, or at least not very high on the list. Perhaps it should be. Our Lord's parable this morning reveals that there is, in fact, an unknown deadline, a time when the door will shut. The deadline is coming for entering into eternal life, into the great wedding feast. And after this unknown deadline occurs, the door is slammed shut, then no one will be allowed in. Knock as you want. Lord, Lord, let me in too. But then you hear that dreaded, short, to the point response, truly I say to you, I do not know you. By then it is too late. The door is shut. So Jesus warns that he is coming back at an hour when you least expect it. He says, be ready, be prepared for that. Watch, therefore. Because the bridegroom's grace and patience and mercy does have a limit. God will not allow his love to be rejected and insulted forever. There will come a time where that will end. The time is coming when the door will slam shut. I do not know you. And that, for those folks, it would be like our Old Testament reading. It's like fleeing a lion and a bear meets you, right? Or putting your hand up against the wall and a serpent bites you. It's not a good day for those outside of Christ. Jesus warns that he's coming back. So the question is this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? After all, I mean, it's been over 2,000 years since Christ ascended back up into heaven and said he's going to return in the way that he came back, he ascended, right? And it's kind of like the Old Testament believers, they're waiting all this time, waiting for the promised Messiah. And they can easily, and they often do, become complacent, even apathetic about the coming Messiah. And we can do that too about Christ's coming, on this side of Christ's coming. And we can be like the scoffers in 2 Peter chapter 3. We can be tempted to say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue on as they have from the beginning of creation. But of course, those are the scoffers. So let me ask you this. You know that Christ is coming back and he will judge the living and the dead. But let's say, hypothetically, let's say somehow you knew when that was going to come. That it was going to come back next week or tomorrow or perhaps this very hour. for that matter, for perhaps not Christ's return, but you knew the moment that you're going to die. You knew when that time is coming. And you're going to die, and you're going to, like all men, will face God's judgment. Could be next week, could be tomorrow, could be this very hour. We don't know. If you did know, would you change anything? Would your lifestyle change? Would you give up that stupid grudge that you have been holding on to and try to mend relationships with people in your life? Would you suddenly be quite concerned about whether or not you have enough oil in your lamps? Like being one of those wise virgins. Being concerned, am I right with God Almighty? Well, the time is now. Don't wait. Repent and believe the gospel and be ready. Watch, therefore. See, the thing is, the bridegroom's return definitely is unknown. So be ready. But standing on a street corner with the sign that says, the end is near, well, that won't get you ready. Turning into every single breaking news segment on Fox News and trying to decipher, is this the end? Is not going to get you ready. Searching through Scripture and trying to check off all of the things that needed to happen before Christ can return will not get you ready. And by the way, all things have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We are not waiting for anything. He has fulfilled all things. All things are already checked. He can return at any time. So what makes you ready then? What makes you wise rather than foolish? What is this oil in your lamps? Because of course, lamps without oil are useless. We need the oil to fill our lamps, and we need those lamps in order to enter into the wedding feast with our bridegroom forever. So what is the oil, and where can we find it? The oil is God's grace. It is his mercy. It is his compassion. It is his forgiveness and salvation provided for you and delivered to you. The oil is the Holy Spirit that comes to fill you with eternal life. Right now, in this life, he prepares you and he makes you ready for when Christ returns. Or for whenever that day may come where you die, whichever comes first. Sometimes thinking about that final day or the date of our death, that might cause us a lot of anxiety or fear, but that is only if we are focusing on ourselves. Because the truth is, we cannot make ourselves ready. We cannot produce oil for our lamps. And that really should frighten the old sinful Adam in each one of us, the old Adam who wants to indulge in his fleshly passions and he doesn't want to change his lifestyle nor let his grudges go and mend those fractured relationships. And he's not concerned about bringing oil or a flask of oil and being prepared for the bridegroom's return. You see, this is where a healthy fear of the Lord brings the Lord's judgment upon us. That can be healthy. That can be a good thing because it leads us to repentance. It leads us to stop looking at ourselves and look to Christ alone. The Lord's judgment kills the old Adam in us and turns us to the foot of the cross. And that's a good thing. So every time I preach on this, I remember that song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. But even in that song, that children's song that you probably have sang in Sunday school or other places, if you notice, even in that song, the oil is given. It is given to you. It is Christ who gives the oil. It is his grace, his mercy, his compassion. And it is found where he delivers it. In his word, of course, in the holy absolution that your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. It is found at the altar when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. His very body and blood are given to you to forgive you your sins and strengthen you. It is found at the font here where he washes us clean and forgives us in the waters of holy baptism. These are the ways that your oil is filled. Christ does this. It is only by God's grace that you have oil in your lamps. All of it comes from the cross, flows through the means of grace into you. And that moment then in time where the Son gave his life so that you may be filled with life. And you are filled with that, and you are overflowing with that oil. So the new man in us, the new creation that believes this and trusts in Christ, gladly, willingly, frequently, and wisely makes use of God's means of grace. He comes to where he knows that supply of oil will be overflowing. He is filled with Christ's word and sacrament. So only a proper and healthy fear of the Lord, with that proper and healthy fear of the Lord, will we not then fear Judgment Day. We don't need to fear Judgment Day because we are united with Christ. We are remaining and abiding in him. And our lamps are overflowing then, and we are ready. And we are living every day as if Christ might return this very second, or tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week, or who knows when. In Christ, what is known far surpasses that which is unknown. In Christ, it doesn't matter if you don't know the day or the hour. It doesn't matter. Because we do know that everything needed has already been accomplished for our salvation. Our bridegroom has already laid down his life for the sake of his dear bride, the church, for you. And he has already defeated death by taking his life back up again in the glorious resurrection. We have already been united to that death and resurrection in Romans 6, where it says we are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. In Christ, we have already been judged. And we have already been declared forgiven and holy because of what he has accomplished for us. So there's nothing to fear. And we know that he continues to keep our lamps overflowing with oil as we humbly and joyfully, we're doing it now, hear his word, hear the good news, and when we receive the Lord's Supper. Anxiety be gone. Fear of judgment be gone. For we have Jesus. We have oil that is overflowing. We know that we are ready because Christ makes us ready. So whether Christ comes back at this very moment, or if we die first, we can be certain that our bridegroom, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will usher us through the gate of the wedding feast to heaven with him forever, where we will enjoy that wedding feast with him eternally. And to all of this, we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.